It's the most important position in all of team sports, and it's looking like next year we're going to see some change for the G-Men.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Good people. It's a Wednesday. It's your boy Theo Dorsey. We got Damien on the ones and twos. C-Cat still out in Vegas at Big 12 Media Days. I hear he's got Prime. I hear Coach Prime is going to be sitting down with C-Cat. So looking forward to seeing what that interview is like. Maybe he can ask him, how in the heck did he get his son Shedeur Sanders to have the highest rating for any quarterback in the NCAA Football 25 game that's coming out? I want to know. Also, who might be inquiring about that and has an inquiring mind about many of things with sports, our dear friend here at ESPN West Palm for many a year, making his debut on Theoretically Speaking. I hope you're tapped in on YouTube, by the way, at Theo Speaking, because you're going to want to see this guy. His locks are flowing today. I told him he's looking like he and put your mic on for me, please, there, Dr. Goldhaber. Dr. Neil Goldhaber, you're looking like a young, slim man today, and you got the full locks going. How are we feeling coming off of episode 2 of your New York Giants Hard Knocks offseason stuff?
We're doing good. We're doing good, Theo. It's good to see you guys. And yeah, I got the long hair flowing. It's a little warm for that, so it may be... I may be shaving that off any day now.
No, it looks good. It's a good look.
But as far as my New York Giants go, yeah, very interesting. An interesting watch. I like Hard Knocks anyway, but getting the inside scoop, so to say, on my team, yeah. Very, very interesting.
GoldhaberSinus.com to get locked in with Dr. Neil Goldhaber. We'll be talking about that throughout the show, but we're also going to have the New York Giants as our centric topic today, not just because you're in today, but as I've been watching Hard Knocks, the offseason edition with the Giants. It's their first time HBO doing this thing during the offseason like that. Us getting a behind-the-curtains look at what the front office is like. Joe Shane, the general manager, being put out there front and center for everybody to watch his decision-making. There's been a lot of discourse about the Saquon Barkley move. I loved watching him negotiate out that deal with general manager of the Carolina Panthers, Dan Morgan, to go and get Brian Burns to be a demon off of that edge. And then last night we saw them, you know, trying to make a move, trying to trade up in the draft to maybe get a quarterback. And that brings me to why we're here in the first place. Every single time ahead of the football season, especially around this summertime, we start to think, okay, who has the most quote-unquote pressure to perform this year? Who has the most to prove this year? But I thought we'd elevate that a bit today because it's a Wednesday. It's a hump day. I'm feeling a little antsy. I want to go with who has their NFL career on the line the most this year, because it's not just about pressure to perform. It's also about having another franchise invest in you. And when I look at the New York Giants, I love what they've done this offseason. I like what they're building out there as a team that's going to want to contend in the NFC East. But there's still a massive question mark at the quarterback position. And to me, Daniel Jones is the one singular guy who has his career on the line the most in the National Football League in this upcoming year. And it starts with the fact that not only has he been a health concern over the past couple of years, more specifically, he has been turnover prone. And for me, Theo Dorsey, for my sports sensibilities and what I want out of a quarterback, the number one thing you can't do is be a guy that turns the ball over more than you can put it in the end zone. This is year 6 that we're coming up on for your New York Giants with Daniel Jones at the helm, sporting that number 8 and playing quarterback. And coming into year 6 here, 5 years of experience in 60 games with the Giants, Daniel Jones has not just turned the ball over 64 times. He's only had 62 total touchdowns to his name. He's given the ball away to the defense more times than he is scoring points for the offense. It's not winning football. It's not something that you can build a franchise going on forward. And I do think that now with the verbiage we've heard Joe Shane use, specifically in the Hard Knocks film that we've been watching from HBO, and also the moves that the Giants have made around their roster this year, Daniel Jones should be the guy that's most looking over his shoulder, that most has the antsiness about what his career can be going forward, because if he can't make it work out this year with Brian Daboll, with an incoming Malik Nabers who is looking like the most explosive receiver in the draft, and with them bringing in an edge rusher like Brian Burns, who, if you can get the Giants a lead now, imagine trying to go up against that imposing defensive line that you guys have built out there in New York. I think this is not just a prove-it year for Daniel Jones, but no matter what he does, it might be the end of the road. So I ask you all, let's open it up to everybody, and then I'll get to you, Dr. Neil Goldhaber. Who in the NFL has the most to prove this year? Who has their NFL career most on the line? And you can hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline, 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. That's the number to tap into the show, theoretically speaking. The Baptist Health Hotline. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. Dr. Goldhaber, Dr. G, you're a Giants fan. You just had to listen to me for 4 minutes rant on how your quarterback...
That was hard.
Yeah, how your quarterback has no chance to have a future in the NFL, especially with your G-men. What is your first thought to that? You believe
Theo,
in the guy.
Let's slow your roll a little bit. All right, first off. Okay, because...
Talk to me.
I'm going to talk to you. All right, now, I don't disagree with a lot of what you said. However, let's tweak it, right? End of his career, really? You don't think Daniel Jones, even if he doesn't make it after this year, he's going to be a backup somewhere. So let's not say he's out of the league if he doesn't do well.
But what is that for a guy that was, for once, pitched as the face of a franchise?
I agree with that. But some things you have to weigh in on, and it's just sort of playing devil's advocate.
Okay,
right?
I got you. You're saying he can be a backup.
Oh, for sure. But I'm going to say a couple of things, and I tend to be more on your side with this. But, you know, name me a quarterback who could have played with that offensive line last year. Yeah, he turned the ball over a lot, but the guy was running for his life. So let's playing both sides of it for sure. I think that this year is a big year, obviously, for him. And you and I were talking about this before we came on the air, but I think that if he has a run and they have a winning record and they somehow get to the playoffs and he's in part responsible for it, he's going to be there. He's going to be there. Now, we both also know, though, if he does not have the year that us Giant fans are hoping for. I don't include you in that, Theo, but us Giant fans.
I'm starting to like the Giants. Based off of this HBO Hard Knocks, I'm getting a little bit of an affinity for what they're building
over
there.
You get a little tingle for them. That's okay. But I think that if he doesn't do well, this is the last year, because after this year, based on the way they did his contract, it'll be a lot easier for the Giants to move on. So, this is a big year. He's got to bounce back from injuries. They did put a lot of money into their offensive line as well to try to protect them. But I think it's a put up or shut up year for Daniel Jones, for sure.
You talk about the way they did his contract. So there's only another year of guaranteed money left after this season. He's scheduled to earn $30 million in 2025. Only $23 million of that is guaranteed against injury. So they can, after this season, move on from Daniel Jones.
That's right.
And also, everything we've seen Joe Shane and that front office do so far around this team is almost operating with that in mind. It feels like they're prepared to move on from him. So as a Giants fan, then, just be honest. You know, truth serum.
Sure.
It's not just about making the playoffs and winning a game. What does he have to look like for you in your eyes to do so? Because even in that 1 year that earned him the four-year, $160 million contract, it was 15 touchdowns. It was getting by with all of these wildcat formations and really leaning heavily on Saquon Barkley to make that offense churn. And with a genius brain that we say in Brian Daboll, to make that offense kind of take the top off and threaten defenses more. What would you have to see from Daniel Jones? Because you look around the league, these other quarterbacks are just levels better.
No doubt about it. But if you look back to that year, that was year one of the Shane Daboll experiment. Mm. Nobody expected the Giants to compete the way they did. That was supposed to really be the beginning of the rebuild. Lo and behold, Daboll did his magic. I don't know if you remember in week one that year against Houston, he went for it for the lead
at the end
of the game. It showed a little moxie. right? So that year kind of came out of nowhere. But I would say that he not only has to play well and live up to, you know, some of the expectations that he had early on, but he's got to stay healthy. You know, when you start having that reputation as being the guy that gets hurt every year, and he's had some serious injuries, that's going to be a big part of it too. Even if he plays well and gets hurt again, I think the Giants are going to be ready to use that money and sort of reset the clock as far as that's concerned and build the rest of the team. I think they've done a pretty good job of rebuilding the rest of the team. So therein lies the dilemma, right?
Giants and also New York Knicks fan Dr. Neil Goldhaber joining us here.
We could do that for 2 hours.
Theoretically,
I need Evan for that.
You're in luck because Evan Cohen going to be joining us right around corner here. I do want to say before we move on, other coaches and players that I do feel have their NFL careers on the line here, and it's easier to say with coaches than players because you're right. I'm being a little exaggerative when I say that Daniel Jones' career is on the line. I'm sure somebody will sign him for a low-level contract to be a backup. But I look around the league for the New York Jets. Robert Saleh, head coach. Now that they've turned this franchise over to Aaron Rodgers and they have the excellent defense and they've got Nathaniel Hackett calling plays for them, it still feels like if the Jets don't get into the playoffs and look threatening, Robert Saleh is more on the line, and I don't see him getting another head coaching job in the NFL after this.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, they're built to win. They were built to win last year, and then I was going to call him Favre, but Rodgers, right? How many plays? I mean, that was the end of the season.
Snap
of your finger. So I think it is a big year, and their offense, you know, they got Garrett Wilson too. I like him a lot. So yeah, I would agree with you. I would agree with you there. But if you're going back to players too, I think it's a big year. Let's keep it local for Tua. Also, I think it's a very big year.
Now, here's the one defense I'll give for Tua. He just led the league in passing last year. He's going to be playing on a fifth-year option for $20-plus million, plus the Dolphins' offense has been way better with him than without
him.
But
here's the question. So, fifth-year, why didn't they sign him long-term? Because they wanted one more year of let's see.
It seems
so somebody in there is not really drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, well, I think also it's coming down to the guaranteed money. I think it didn't help that Jared Goff and Trevor Lawrence got these huge deals, and that lifted up what Tua said. The market is the market, what they're going to have to pay for Tua Tagovailoa. Like, the Dolphins believe in him. I don't think they believe in him to the tune of $55 million a year and $200 million guaranteed. That's going to get interesting.
We'll see what happens for sure.
On the other side, we got to bring Evan Cohen in here, for who you hear on Unsportsmanlike from 6 to 10 a.m. every single morning on ESPN 106.3, because generally this dude, I feel like, has the mind churning the right way. He's great at making these lists. He had his quarterback rules. I thought they were sensible. Today, I think he might have made the worst list I've ever seen him come out with in his career. And he has a lengthy career dating back here to ESPN West Palm. Absolutely abysmal when we're talking about pass catchers in the NFL. So we're going to have to address that with him head on. And plus, I do want to get his take on who in the NFL has their career most on the line in 2024. I'm still sticking with Daniel Jones. I know that's your quarterback. You want to have faith. But again, in the league, you got to have a guy at the signal caller position. I mean, think in the NFC East, Dr. G. I mean, he's the worst quarterback there right now, even with Jaden Daniels pulling up as a rookie.
Well, let's see Jaden play a down or two.
All right. Okay. All right. So we'll get to that. We'll get to that, but we're in the dog days of summer, which is why we are talking NFL pressure and careers on the line. Speaking of the dog days of summer, I mean, at Duffy Sports Grill, you pull up there right now, they're in the midst of the dog days of summer, and it's a good thing, because we're not talking about the dog days in a bad way. We're talking about hot dogs. Natural, uncured Vienna beef hot dogs all the way through the end of July 31st. I mean, here goes a couple of the options here. The All-American topped with chopped onions, sauerkraut, relish, mustard, and ketchup. How about the Texan? That's home for me. You get a hot dog topped with the Duffy's signature beef chili, served on an artisan bun, and French fries and a pickle on the side. All of them are just about $12. DuffysMVP.com. We got Duffy Sports Grill celebrating its 39th anniversary with the return of the Death Dog as well. That's a char-grilled, all-natural, uncured Vienna beef hot dog loaded with the most fiery toppings. We're talking sliced jalapenos, horseradish mayo, swish and cheddar cheese, and that special Duffy's Death Sauce. Enjoy the dog days of summer now through July 31st at Duffy's Sports Grill. Our game is always on, DuffysMVP.com. On the other side, Evan Cohen explains The worst list I've seen him come up with that great radio brain. That's Dr. Neil Goldhaber. I'm Theo Dorsey with Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Well, we've already broken one of his cardinal rules, playing Kanye before bringing him in. And here he is himself, Evan Cohen, who I'm going to make him even more mad when I attack this horrendous list he put out this morning on Unsportsmanlike. Evan Cohen joining us, myself, Theo Dorsey, and Dr. Neil Goldhaber here on Theoretically Speaking. And we'll get right to it. First and foremost, Evan, any nice kind words you want to say to your dear friend, Dr. Goldhaber, who I've just been bashing his franchise quarterback, Daniel Jones, for the first segment. I think we've made up for it, though, as we're going to go come together and attacking you on this list.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, a couple of things. First of all, yeah, sorry, Theo, I'm not a pro-anti-Semitic rapper. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. I know. Rap,
you know that. Yeah, anti-Semites, not exactly things I'm interested in, okay? That's
yes.
Number one. Number two, Goldhaber and I have been friends for a long time. We actually had a real-life conversation like a week or two ago. I don't know when it was. We were on the phone for like an hour, and I don't think we broke down sports at all, which is probably the first time in our lives that we did break down sports. But so he doesn't know this take from me, and neither do you. I'm kind of cooking this up. I haven't fully let it out yet, but I'm going to tease it. I think Daniel Jones may have a decent season this year. I think Daniel Jones is not as bad as everyone thinks he is. I just think his number is so enormous, and this reality show for the Giants, Hard Knocks, while it's amazing to watch, I'm not sure it's great for the franchise, to be honest with you, because it doesn't make them look unbelievable. But, okay, go ahead. Fire away. Get to the list. I'm sure both of you – I mean, trust me, Goldhaber sits there waiting for me to say dumb things, which doesn't take very long. He's all happy because he got Mikal Bridges.
Oh, my God.
This is a guy who did not go to Villanova, who wants to alter his degree now as a Knicks fan to a Villanova degree. He
100%.
Wants a medical degree for his doctor, everything from Villanova now.
I may take an online course. Yeah. I might do that.
Not too late.
You should actually do that. That's a great bit, Goldhaber. Take an online course from Villanova just so now you really could be one of the Nova Knicks.
So I can wear the sweatshirt with pride, right? I think that's a good idea.
Exactly right.
They might give you a spot on the roster there. So Evan Cohen, you're joining on. I know you've had to defend this list in other places as well, so you might as well do it here for your fans out here in Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast. It's going around ESPN Radio. Everybody's giving their top five pass catchers in the NFL this year, and your list reads as such. Evan Cohen's top five pass catchers in the league will go 5-1. At number five, CeeDee Lamb. At number four, Justin Jefferson. At number three, a better pass catcher than Justin Jefferson, Christian McCaffrey, running back for the 49ers. At number two, Ja'Marr Chase. And at number one, tight end Travis Kelce from the Kansas City Chiefs. Evan, I don't know how you screwed this up, but somehow you put a tight end and a running back ahead of the best receiver in the league, Justin Jefferson. Just please, can you just explain yourself right quick?
Okay, but I will, Theo, I promise you. Before I do, can I just hear both of your destruction of me? Like, what is – okay, so Goldhaber, your biggest issue, and then Theo, your biggest issue with my list, which, yes, everyone is telling me how terrible this list is.
Well, my number one issue, I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, right? So anything that's pro-Chiefs, I'm going to usually be in support of. Last year, Travis Kelce was not even really good, especially during the regular season, and it's not like he came up huge for the Chiefs in the postseason that much as well. And to put him over guys like Justin Jefferson, who were doubled all year, who put up huge numbers with a bevy of quarterbacks, to put him over guys like Tyreek Hill, who almost hit 2,000 yards through the air, to me is it. I don't even think it's clickbait. I think it's almost like you're trying to maybe warm up to the Swifties. Like, is that your angle here?
Okay, interesting. All right, I hear that.
Dr.
Right.
Goldhaber, you get it.
No,
next.
I just think when you become a national big shot, you try to be too cute. You know what I mean? It's like national big shot. I got to be cute and have hot takes. You know, I get it. I mean, I can.
You think I've changed? I get it. You think I've changed?
Clearly.
A little bit.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Not to mention both you guys. I'm going to blast. But why is why isn't St. Brown on here from Detroit?
Well, there's only five spots.
Okay.
So you want me to give mine right quick, or Evan, do you want to first defend yours?
I see yours, Theo. I see yours.
Yeah, mine is
better than AJ. You don't think he's better than AJ Brown?
No. AJ Brown's more versatile. I think he's a better outside and inside receiver. Amon-Ra is a great receiver, but he's a slot guy. He's benefiting off of being in the slot.
You obviously weren't paying attention. He was unbelievable last year.
Yeah, AJ Brown also, when you watch the way that guy tracks down deep balls as well as he's so physical, I'll take AJ Brown. But here's my list. Number one, Justin Jefferson. Number two, Tyreek Hill. Number three, Ja'Marr Chase. Number four, A.J. Brown, and it was tough for me at number five between CeeDee Lamb and Amon-Ra St. Brown, but I went with CeeDee Lamb for the Cowboys because of that back end of the season with Dak Prescott, him being the only real threat in the passing game for the Cowboys and still finding a way to rack up so many yards. That is my list. Evan, I do need to know how the heck Christian McCaffrey made it as number three, though.
Okay. All right. So let me give you my analysis of this. So I was asked to do this. I told our producers, I said, I'm the worst person to do this. They said, why?
Clearly.
I said, because I do not, under any circumstance, value wide receivers like everyone else does. So you're asking me to do a top five wide receivers list. I would take no wide receivers. And so we had the discussion off air, and Canty and I specifically came up with the, all right, let's alter it a little bit to pass catchers, because that kind of fits what my angle is, and it'll make it even more interesting when we discuss it. So what I regret about this list that I broke out this morning on Unsportsmanlike 6-10 here on ESPN West Palm 106.3, I regret that I took any wide receivers because I don't think wide receivers are as valuable as tight ends. I think when you have a great tight end or a great player that can do multiple things while catching the ball also, like Christian McCaffrey, they become more valuable. Like, if you look at the NFL over the last 20 years, they've been dominated by two teams, okay? They've been dominated by the Patriots and the Chiefs. And the two best tight ends of our lifetime, leave aside what probably Goldhaber and I will also add to the mix of Mark Bavaro, that probably half the people listening don't even know who that is, look him up. He's unbelievable. He would be a superstar if he played today. Yeah. He was phenomenal for the Giants back in the day. He was a smaller version of Gronk before Gronk, and literally would drag guys down the field as they were trying to tackle him. He was amazing. But when you have a great quarterback, they constantly churn wide receivers. What they don't do is churn running backs. Churn tight ends. Excuse me. So when I made this list, I tried my best to factor in my love of the tight end position and players that I think could contribute to significant levels of winning. The only one that I have in there that is not going to do that this year is probably Justin Jefferson. CeeDee Lamb could potentially win the division. Sorry, Goldhaber is a Giants fan. Ja'Marr Chase, obviously they could go back to the Super Bowl potentially in Cincinnati where he's been before. I think there's also a part of it that I included guys like Christian McCaffrey because are we sure Brandon Ayuk's on the Niners all year? Are we sure Deebo Samuel's on the Niners all year? So I think I should have probably included George Kittle, but I think that McCaffrey's going to be a big pass catcher for them this year. I just think the tight end is the quarterback's best friend. And if you list off the greatest wide receivers over the last 10 years in the NFL, they really haven't won much. If you list off the greatest tight ends, all of them have contributed to winning. Gronk has won multiple Super Bowls. Kelsey has won multiple Super Bowls. Kittle has been to two Super Bowls. Mark Andrews in the AFC title game last year at Baltimore, and his quarterback, Lamar Jackson, Boynton Beach's own, where Goldhaber's office is, by the way, goldhabersinus.com, no big deal, and where he helped win two MVPs with that guy. So I look at this and I say, where's the value? It's not in the wide receiver position.
So, and Evan Cohen here joining us from Unsportsmanlike on ESPN 106.3 and Dr. Neil Goldhaber in-house for Theoretically Speaking with myself, Theo Dorsey. One quick thing to push back, and then I'll let you get the floor, Dr. Goldhaber. I think we're forgetting Triple Crown winning Cooper Kupp with the Rams in 2021.
He's the exception.
And in 2019, Tyreek Hill, who I have as number two on my list, winning a Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes. But here you go, Dr. Goldhaber.
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that before Neil goes here.
Oh, okay. You ready for me? No, I was just gonna. I was
no,
just
hold
gonna.
On, hold
he's,
on.
He's got. A, he thinks he has a good
realize.
Counter. He thinks he has a good counter.
No, I was just gonna. Go ahead.
On Tyreek, it's interesting when the Chiefs had money decisions to make. They had no problem saying goodbye to him. Kelsey ain't going anywhere. ever, and they won two Super Bowls as soon as Tyreek Hill left. Just saying. Go ahead, Goldhaber.
No, I was just, I mean, my point is just a very basic one, was the fact that the topic wasn't most valuable pass catcher. Mm. I think you'd have something there, Ev. I really do. It was just, you know, best pass catchers.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're getting into it on a different level. But I, you know, just pure pass catching, I just don't know how you can leave Tyreek Hill out of it.
I'd love to see Christian McCaffrey catch a goal line fade. But yes, what you got, Evan?
Well, and that's fair. And, you know, Dan Orlovsky called in this morning, the ESPN NFL analyst, on his own because he was so bothered by my list. and that was mainly his point, Neil, was I'm kind of conflating and combining two things here into one, right? The value proposition behind paying a wide receiver $30 million and a tight end $10 to $15 million is different than the top wide receivers, the top pass catchers. So I understand where you guys are coming from. Let me flip the script and let me ask you both this, okay? And you could put names on this if you want. But if I give you an A-level quarterback, so not A-plus, okay? So not Mahomes, just an A-level quarterback, whoever you would deem that to be. And I said you could have a $30 million superstar wide receiver like Jefferson, or a $15 million superstar tight end like Kelce, who are you taking for your team? You have an A-level quarterback. Let's say it's Matthew Stafford, your quarterback. Mm. A-level, but not A-plus.
But he's answering. But it's just what you just said.
Money value.
But we just said that, though.
Yeah.
So let's even using Stafford, right?
Yeah.
He won a Super Bowl with Cooper Kupp.
Yes.
His tight end was who? Everett? I forget who
Everett
he was.
Everett or Higbee or one of the.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think you're sort of answering
the
question.
Take somebody else out. So then take somebody who hasn't won a Super Bowl. I mean, give me Josh Allen then, right? Josh Allen, A-level quarterback. But not A-plus, not Mahomes. Hasn't won a Super Bowl.
He had Diggs. He had most of his success with Stephon Diggs and, like, Dalton
and
Kincaid.
Happened, no,
he's
like,
saying he hasn't won, so he still didn't win.
I mean, he ran into Patrick Mahomes.
So you think the difference would be if you put Kelce on that team and took Diggs off, that
if
he's going to win?
If you put Kelce on that team and you put Diggs out of that team, I think they have a chance to beat the Chiefs. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, my God. I think that you're playing the results because you're basing – everything you're saying off the fact that the Patriots had Tom Brady and the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, and
yes,
no matter who
exactly
you throw in
right.
the field with those guys, they're going to produce and get championships, it feels like. I don't think it's just because they're tight ends.
No, but Theo, you're making my point. I'm so glad you just went there, Theo.
Yeah.
Because you made my point indirectly. My point is simply the only way you win in this league, the only way, is if you have a Hall of Fame level quarterback that can outperform his contract, or a rookie-scale contract quarterback that can outperform his contract. That's it. The in-between guys don't win Super Bowls. And that's actually what Daniel Jones is, coming back to that thing. Like, the in-between guy, that's what Tua is going to be. If they give him a big contract, he's going to be the in-between guy. He's not Hall of Fame level, and he's not on a rookie-scale deal. But when you have the quarterback that can win it all, when you have a Brady or Mahomes, again, what happens is, to prove my point on the value, is they don't care about the wide receivers. They don't pay them. They pay the tight ends. They keep the same tight ends. They don't keep the same wide receivers. It's just, it's there. Brady and Mahomes are the exact example of that.
No, but isn't that
turn the wide receivers?
But Evan, isn't that because if you have an A-plus quarterback, then the tight end is more important. Like, because the quarterback's so good, he doesn't need the unbelievable receiver. That, I think you're, in some ways, I don't want to say making my point because that's not really my point. I'm just saying is, I think the mid-level quarterback or the A-level.
Go deeper on that, okay? So you just said, if you have the A-plus quarterback, right, you don't need the star wide receiver. You need the star-level tight end more. Explain why you're saying that.
No, but just because of what we've seen with history. Not to say that Brady never had, he had Randy Moss at the end of his career, but he had a great year and stuff. Right. No, I'm agreeing. But I'm saying is most quarterbacks are not the A-plus guys.
Right. And that's, I think, therein lies the problem. When you base any conversation off of, okay, we'll just do what Brady or Mahomes did.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree with you. And you know what? The Buffalo Bills are going to find out the hard way this year based on what they just did this offseason.
I think they might be into, we were talking about over-unders. I think you might want to go under on the Bills this year.
Come on.
I go the other way. I'll go over. I've never liked the Bills. Never liked them. I've never liked Josh Allen. This is the first year I think I'm actually going to pick them.
I'll talk to you off the air. We'll bet a dinner or something. We have a couple of those.
Wait, hold on. Wait, one quick question on what you just said, Theo. Okay? So you just said about, I guess, repeat your point. So I understand that and everybody understands.
Because what's happening, what the Bills are banking on then, they're using the same logic as you.
The one before. You said Brady and Mahomes. You can't just go based on that because they're Brady and Mahomes. Let me ask you a question, okay? These are the two best quarterbacks we've ever seen in our life. They may be the two, Brady's the best of all time, and Mahomes may be second best of all time, right? Are we sure they both would have been what they were without playing with the two greatest tight ends of all time?
It's a great question. It's an unanswerable question.
It's unanswerable.
But what I can say, at least on behalf of Brady, we did see him win at a high level. I know it was more defensive-based early on without Gronk. And on behalf of Mahomes, it'll be a wait and see. We'll see what the latter end of his career looks like, because this might be the last year for Travis Kelce, and you don't replace a guy like that. So the jury's still out on that, but what I can say is we saw both of them do it with and without top-level wide receivers, and I don't know how many other quarterbacks can replicate that kind of success. I thought you were going to go the angle of the head coaches with Andy Reid and Bill Belichick, and then even with Brady on the back end with Bruce Arians, and that's where I wouldn't even know which way to go with it. Evan Cohen joining us from Unsportsmanlike. We got Dr. Neil Goldhaber in the house here on Theoretically Speaking. I know both of you have to probably go here soon, but I do want to get your take on this on the way out the door, Evan. Who in the NFL right now, coach or player, is most playing for their career this year in 2024? I went Daniel Jones. Dr. Goldhaber, Dr. G's pushing back on that. But who do you think has their career on the line this year?
So when you say career on the line, you're saying like out of the league.
Yeah, this was my point.
Job is different. Like, I don't think Daniel Jones is out of the league.
That's what I said. Thank you.
Josh Allen's backup.
I mean, for Daniel Jones, though, like when you've been the face of a franchise in New York, it feels like a secondary career out of the league when you're going to be a backup for some guy.
There have been plenty of quarterbacks who came in as touted draft choices and flamed out and then hung around in the league. Look at Baker Mayfield. That's a great example, right?
Baker Mayfield's a starter right now. I don't see Daniel Jones becoming a starter again.
No, but he didn't go from starter to starter.
Yeah.
Okay, he jumped in with the Rams. He
went from starter with the Browns, then starter with the Panthers, stunk up the joint, he became a backup.
But I'm just saying he's kind of resurrected his career. So I'm not saying that Daniel will do that, but I'm saying is he may go and back up and then maybe resurrect his career. You just never know. Sorry, Evan, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you both have really interesting points. I've never thought about the question you're bringing up. You both have very interesting points. First off, the fact that Baker was a journeyman and actually was never the backup, which is a fascinating thing I never thought about.
I didn't.
Because we think about his fall from grace, right? But he was technically the starter with the Panthers for a minute, and then he started that game for the Rams.
I forgot.
So, like, he actually was kind of a – like, that's weird.
He fell into a starting position everywhere he went.
Yes.
Yeah. But here's – so, Dr. Goldhaber, I agree with you on that. But where I agree with Theo – you and I both know, as both of us being from the Northeast, you're the starting quarterback of the New York Giants, and then you go to another team as a backup. Your career in terms of employment is not over, but my God, is your career different, to Theo's point. Like, if you're backing up Caleb Williams, that's not the same as your starting quarterback for the New York Football Giants.
No, of course, but we said, Theo said that, his career is over. And by the way, speaking of New York quarterbacks, let's talk about Sam Darnold. Okay, Sam Darnold, right? Was taken number 3, I believe, overall in that draft, right? Yeah. Number 3. And a fall from grace, the guy stunk up the joint, one of, the history of Jet quarterbacks who stink up the joint, right? And what happens? He goes and he backs up. He's got some spot starts. He's in San Francisco, right? Kind of worked his way back up, and he's being kind of looked upon now.
Yeah,
right.
So he's starting for the Vikings.
Well, that's my point.
But
bridge guy for now. But still, he's been hanging around. Let's see what happens.
So I think here's the thing. Goldhaber is taking the question very literal, which is totally fine. Theo, I think what you're asking is, who has the biggest chance for career alteration on the negative side after this year? Because you're not saying, like if Tua and the Dolphins win a Super Bowl, his career is forever changed and altered. But you're thinking about it more from the negative side. In essence, who has the most to lose
this
year?
That's what I said.
Is what you're asking.
That's what I said.
Yeah, Tua.
Right, Theo? I mean, is that kind of what you're asking?
He's a good candidate for this, but again, for Daniel Jones, if it doesn't work out here with Daboll in New York after year six, I don't see him getting a starting job ever again in the league, even if he does become some kind of career backup somewhere, because of what he's shown us. He's a turnover machine. He is injury prone, and his style of play is not going to get better. Like, the ceiling for him, I don't see. Even with Sam Darnold, who you brought up, the tools were there. He was playing for Adam Gase with the Jets. With no help.
But Daniel Jones has been playing behind an offensive line that, you know, me, you, and Evan could block better. Maybe.
Well, I'll give you an answer that's not 100% in the spirit of the question. But a career-altering year on the, uh-oh, what if it doesn't work out list? What if Justin Herbert is not great this year?
Man.
And not that they would get rid of him or bench him or anything like that. The only reason I say that is, no one's ever not that great with Harbaugh at that position. No one. And I think Herbert's going to be awesome. I think the Chargers are going to be great. But imagine if Herbert's just not that great this year, just hypothetically. You can't blame Brandon Staley. I mean, it's Jim freaking Harbaugh. He has the best winning percentage of any coach in the NFL active right now. He won a championship at Michigan. He's never been bad anywhere. There's a guy whose career could be altered if he doesn't have a big year this year.
Also, it's not Jim Harbaugh's guy, right? So if he doesn't play well this year.
It is, though. That's kicks. Why he went there.
He went there for him, and also, let's not forget, I don't even think his contract is kicked in yet. Justin Herbert is pretty safe when it comes to career.
I think he's terrific. I think he's really good. I'm just saying excuses are there.
Yeah.
You know? The excuses are there. By the way, Evan, I mentioned Russell Wilson also.
That's a good one. He's old, though. He's old. This is his last shot.
This is it.
In the spirit. And I think Russ is going to have a good year, but I always think Russ has a good year on Wisconsin. But that is an answer that is truly in the spirit of Theo's initial question.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if Russell Wilson doesn't have a good year this year, I don't know who employs him after this year, unfortunately.
It ain't happening because he's not a guy that's coming in and being a backup somewhere. Evan Cohen joining us from Unsportsmanlike. We got Dr. Neil Goldhaber in the house. Any parting words on the way out? I mean, we got to tell people about, you know, GoldhaberSinus.com, of course.
Goldhaber gets very awkward when I do this, like, in front of him.
Yeah, I see him. I saw him tense up, literally. If you're watching on YouTube, he tensed up. He said, oh, is Evan about to talk about my practice?
He's been an ENT in South Florida for over 20 years.
25. This is year 27 right now. 27.
Well, that's over 20. You're going to find. See, this is the problem with Goldhaber. he bickers on everything. Here's my public endorsement of Goldhaber Sinus that I've been doing for years, ear, nose, and throat, and you can sit there and bicker with him about everything.
Of course.
I mean, I would trust him on the ear, nose, and throat, okay? But here's the thing. I just said he's been in South Florida with a practice for over 20 years, which any business, any walk of life, being in business for over 20 years is remarkable. He then corrects me, which is incorrect in his correction, and saying over 25, actually 27. Well, let me ask you something, Neil, newly minted Villanova grad. Is 27 not over 20? Just out of curiosity.
It is. Well, why didn't you say he's been here over 5 years? Could have said that, right?
He's had a practice serving ear, nose, and throat patients for over a year.
Yeah.
Now, it's 26 years over a year, but it is technically over a year.
That is.
So, okay, Goldhaber, since obviously I can't do the job of endorsing you, what would you like to say about
me? No, I'm just busting chops. I'm so sorry, Evan. Not really, but...
I'm good. That's it.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait, before you go, Evan, I'll give you two number two draft choices for Bam Adebayo. Leon Rose said I could make that offer.
Fingers. I'm going to give you two middle fingers for that offer is what I'm going to give you.
When you say number two, are you talking about number two overall?
Two second round draft choices.
Get out of here. That's where we close things out.
I'm out.
Evan,
goodbye.
Appreciate your time.
Love you, Evan. Love you.
See you guys.
That's Dr. Neil Goldhaber. That's Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 106.3. Great with trade denials, terrible with top five pass catcher list. When we come back, I got to discuss justice for Jaylen Brown. He's the finals MVP, but he's still got a huge gripe. And that's because he was once again left on the outside looking in. It's theoretically speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Derek White over Jaylen Brown for Team USA Basketball in replacement of Kawhi Leonard. I know it feels disrespectful to the Finals MVP, but the right call, if you ask me. It's Theo Dorsey. We're theoretically speaking. We're getting some bonus. Dr. Neil Goldhaber on the back end here as we take it to 6 o'clock. And before we get into that, the Team USA decision and the what is perceived as a snub for Jaylen Brown, we got to hit you with a injury report out of the National Football League.
I am not angry. I am in pain. My leg!
Time now for an injury report.
My head and torso!
Wow, that's crazy. They hit me everywhere except
my legs!
Presented by Baptist Health Orthopedic Care. Go where the pros go.
My leg!
I'm good. I'm cool. Stop worrying. That's what Dak Prescott is telling us after there was a little concern as he was caught on vacation in a walking boot. But Dak Prescott says the walking boot was more precautionary, and last year's MVP runner-up for the Dallas Cowboys, who is looking to maybe be the first $60 million man, says he's perfectly fine and will be ready for camp and for the fall. That is your Baptist Health Orthopedic Care Injury Report coming out of Arlington, Texas. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care is joint pain affecting your quality of life. At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, our team is experienced in traditional joint replacement surgery, as well as new, less invasive treatments with the goal of returning you to what you love as quickly as possible. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. It's not every day in sports that you get everybody making seemingly the right decision, but that's exactly what I think went down for Team USA men's basketball, not just with Kawhi Leonard deciding to opt out of playing in the Paris Olympics, focus on the Clippers, and more importantly, focus on preserving his body for the NBA season. But also Team USA men's basketball deciding to go with Derek White, the star in his role from the Boston Celtics. That's what we have as he enters that 12-man roster. Team USA getting a role player in Derek White. Now, Dr. Goldhaber, nobody is saying Jaylen Brown or even a guy off your favorite team, the New York Knicks, Jalen Brunson, aren't better players than Derek White. But when I look at this Team USA basketball squad, and I see LeBron James and Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant and Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum and Devin Booker and Tyrese Halliburton, these guys who are the focal point, the fulcrum of their offense, Joel Embiid. I mean, at a certain point, you do kind of want a guy on there that's going to be team first, that's going to do all of the hustle play stuff and get out of the way with no ego. Enter Derek White. I mean, perfect decision here.
Perfect decision. I mean, as much as I hate the Boston Celtics.
Yeah,
I'm
me too.
The first to admit that. No, listen, you got to have somebody do the dirty work, you know, and not to mention he's not just a dirty work player. The guy can score.
Yeah.
You know, not that they need him for that either. I mean, you need someone to do that type of the dirty work. You need, back in the day, a Draymond Green, you know,
yeah,
like that kind of guy that's going to put ego aside, is not going to worry about how many touches he gets. So I think it's actually a perfect decision.
I'm
very much in favor of it.
And also, you know, Steve Kerr and Spo and everybody coaching him, Derek White's not going to have any problem being on the bench for the first 20, 30 minutes of a game and coming out and playing for a 5 or 6 minute spurt, which is going to be his role on this team. Jaylen Brown would have been a little tougher getting going because he's not used to that. I do want to say, you've been out here in Boynton Beach. How long has your practice been in Boynton Beach now?
A little over 5 years.
5 years in Boynton Beach, but it's been in Palm Beach County for 27 now.
That is correct.
Years. Us here in Palm Beach County, we know how great it is to live in Palm Beach County, and we're sharing that with everybody all summer long with Discover the Palm Beaches. You know the hashtag by now. It's hashtag Love the Palm Beaches. That's how you enter to win some amazing prizes from Discover the Palm Beaches. You hop on social media, you take a picture at your favorite spot. Maybe it's Dr. Goldhaber's practice. And that selfie with the hashtag Love the Palm Beaches, I mean, that's going to get you in a chance to win maybe some vacations, some dining cards, anything all in between all summer long. You do hashtag Love the Palm Beaches, then you go online, lovethepalmbeaches.com/love. Those two things enter you to win many of things, and that brings people the joy and the love that it is that being here in paradise in Palm Beach County. Discover the Palm Beaches tells you to hashtag Love the Palm Beaches. When we come back, the Baptist Health Orthopedic Care offseason football report. More on those Giants. That's Dr. Neil Goldhaber. I'm Theo Dorsey with Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
It'll be must-see TV tonight on FS1. You got Team USA versus Team Canada, the basketball opener, the exhibition. See how the Americans look and how they'll preview to be out there in Paris. We're going to do this thing. So this is your first time on Theoretically Speaking here, Dr. Neil Goldhaber, as you join us. And I'm looking forward to the next time because this was a whole lot of fun. Every single time we do these things and we close it out, we like to take people home with a shining a good light, with something good, a good message on the end. We had a lot of arguing, a lot of back and forth.
Yeah, it's all good.
Let's take people home right quick.
I know who I want to take me home, take me.
I'll take you home with this, man. Compliment a stranger today. Just do it. Somebody you're walking by, you might see somebody in the street, in the crosswalk, maybe as you go to your car and you're thinking about going home from work. Just compliment somebody. Share some love. Share some joy. It's a good thing to do. When Dr. Goldhaber, when you pulled up here today, I said, man, you're looking slim. You got the nice hair flowing, man. You're looking good. You look like you just got fresh off the golf course today.
No golf today.
No golf? Do you golf often? Do you?
I try, but, you know, yeah. It's all good.
Hey, really loved having you today. Looking forward to the next one. And
me
I
too.
Promise next time I will not be ragging on your franchise quarterback,
bring
Daniel
bring
Jones.
Bring it, brother. Bring it. I love it.
I'll let you guys live. I'm starting to have an affinity for those Giants. Joe Shane growing on me thanks to Hard Knocks. That was Dr. Neil Goldhaber. Thanks to everyone that pulled up today. Go in love. Go in peace. Go in joy.